Right, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, praise God this morning. Good to be back in the house of the Lord and just re-worshiping. Praise God, we're even having the voice of the baby lead us, right? Praise God. So, you know, we've been talking about, the having an excellent mind all this year. And then, you know, we're talking about this quarter, we're talking about the fundamentals of the faith, right? And today we're going to talk about navigating the realm. And navigating the realm is not the physical realm, but the spiritual realm. And I just want to really dig into that a little bit to understand what does it mean to use the fundamentals of our faith, or using even our faith to navigate the spiritual realm. What does that look like to us, and how is that going to really enable us to walk a closer walk to the Lord and a deeper walk to the Lord? So if you're ready to get into the word of the Lord with me, let's just bow our head in prayer first, and we'll just move on. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for this time, oh Father God. I thank you for showing up in our midst, oh Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the time in worship that we've had this morning, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you take this time, Lord, hide me behind your cross this morning, oh Father God, that you would deliver this message, oh Father God, that you have for each and every one of us, Lord, that it would affect change in our hearts, it would affect change in our minds, oh Father God, it would affect our walk before you, Lord. And Lord God, we would be changed even by the washing of your word here this morning. Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I just want to start off with this. This is kind of the direction I want us to go in. So I just want to kind of start us off with that mindset, I guess. So biblical faith is crucial for the believer so we can operate out of the Word of God with an assurance of things hoped for and with the conviction of things not seen, right? That's Hebrews 1:11. And that's really what faith is. And if we look at that, we know that the worldly dictionary, I guess, would tell us that faith is a strong belief in God or in a religion, right? That's how it's described. But we know the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:11 that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as I was really starting to ponder over that, right? And I was sharing this a little bit with Rory as well. You know, when you really start to think about that, if you really start to look at it in a tangible manner, the assurance of things hoped for, how are you sure of that which you are still hoping for, right? So that equation, if you will, if you put it in a natural term or in a worldly term, would actually equate to nothing, right? And the evidence of things, or the conviction of things not seen, again, how are you convicted, or how is the evidence of things that still not has not even manifested in the natural realm yet? So again, that would appear to actually show us that actual statement would say nothing, if you will, you know. But yet, God made sure that He put that in the Bible in that way, so that we would actually be called to go deeper in our search, because faith is crucial in our walk before God. So I want to go through some of the tenets of our faith, if you will. I picked out 10 different areas in our walk before God where, you know, we can say it's easy, I guess. Not easy is not the word, but we've heard it all our lives. All these tenets we've heard all our lives, and we've actually started to, really have a good, firm belief in all these things. But does that equate to a faith in God? I just want to start to draw that out as we go through. So just stay with me as I go through these 10 tenets of our faith, and then we'll enter into what James has to say about that, I guess. So the first one was that God created the earth, right? And the heavens. Oop, wrong way. So obviously the scripture says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It makes it very, very plain. There's a lot of scientific effort going in to try to disprove that, as we see. But God just makes a statement that God created the heavens and the earth. That's it, you know. There's no need to argue about it. There's no need to actually worry about it. There's no need to do all the scientific proofing of it. God says, I did it. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. And you know, it does take faith to believe that, as we can see in the world today. But Are we using faith to believe that, or is it something we've become familiar with and we believe it, you know? Again, the next one is the deity of Jesus Christ, right? Of Jesus the Christ. And again, in scripture it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So yes, we can see that Jesus Christ is one of the Trinity. He is a person of the Godhead, and yes, he is God. But again, that takes faith to believe. You tell that to a lot of people in the world today and they will not agree with you. They'll argue that the way, they'll give Jesus some other title, or they'll give him some other position except that of God, one of the Trinity. So, you know, again, but again, all this as Christians or even as Catholics, we've heard this all our lives growing up. So are we believing it, or are we actually truly putting our faith in it? You know what I'm saying? And I just want to really point all these things out, because there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between believing something for a long part of your life and then actually really walking in faith in that thing. So God is the Trinity, right? One of the hardest things for man to explain. Yet God shows us in so many instances in throughout the scripture where God shows up in the form of the Trinity. And the one I love the best is here, where it says, after being baptized in Matthew, right? It says, after Jesus being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting upon him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There we see Jesus in physical form, right? In being baptized, right, coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit is alighting, right? There's the second person of the Trinity, and then we hear the voice of God in the heavens, right? So it's obvious there's a triune God, and he's got the three persons that he shows us. But again, that takes faith to actually truly believe that. And as we come to believe that, are we actually, once again, you know, I keep asking this question because it's something I want us to really start to question in our minds, in our hearts. Are we believing this, or are we truly walking in faith in this? If, you know, if we were really put to the test, how do we actually respond in our actions, I guess you could say? And again, the Bible is the infallible word of God, right? And there's many who would try and refute that today, many who would try and shoot that down. But again, in the scriptures, if I can get to the scriptures, okay. In scriptures, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, God tells us through Timothy, he says, all scripture is inspired, or as the Amplified says, is God-breathed, right? Or is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Went the wrong way again, sorry. So the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we know, and we know as Christians, as we walk out the actual, our Christian walk before God, that we can, we start to learn how to trust in the Word of God, how to actually operate in that place. But again, you know, do we read some parts of Scripture and operate in a place of faith to a deeper degree? Then we will read other parts of Scripture and kind of think to ourselves, well, that's really not possible for me now, or that's not possible for me. That was good then, that was Apostle Paul, or that was Moses, or that was someone that God really blessed, and that happened for them. I don't think that could ever really happen for me. You know, and that's that walk of faith. You know, I know that it says that God gives us a measure of faith, each person to operate in that measure, but none of us know the full measure that God has given us. You know, no one knows what the full measure of your faith is. And we have to start to grow into that and start to actually walk in that. And then as we grow in that and as we walk in that, we will start to realize the full measure of our faith. And we will actually be able to operate in that full measure. And again, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, right? So, you know, again, this is something I think it took more faith for Joseph maybe than for anybody else to actually truly believe that. But you know what? You know, it does take faith to truly believe that. It goes, almost flies right in the face of science, if you will, you know. But yet God says very clearly in his word again, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us, right? And he doesn't make any excuse for it. He doesn't make any, try to explain the science behind it or how he's going to do it. He just lets us know this is how it is. And how, you know, that it's almost asking us to believe in something. And that's what it is doing. Asking us to believe it in the manifestation which we haven't seen. And that's where Hebrews 11:1 comes in. The evidence of that which is not yet seen, right? And again, salvation is only through the death of Jesus the Christ. Right? And again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So once again, we know, the scriptures tell us, that yes, that Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, his burial and resurrection is what gives us the actual saving grace, which gives us the ability to walk in this new life. But again, is this something we've heard repetitively? And we're believing it, but not truly putting our faith in it. And, who believes in him is not judged. Okay, this is just to finish it out. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Right? That's just to put the period on that sentence, if you will, you know? But praise God. So then, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's one that's even in constant debate, even among Christians ourselves, even those who are supposedly, like, we're all walking in this faith walk with God. We're trusting that all that God says is being done in our lives, is going to come to pass in our lives. But yet, we can't even agree that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, is real, and what should happen in that baptism, right? But God makes it very clear. And he says here in Acts 11, 15, and 16, he says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So Jesus tells us clearly, you know, and his apostles are reminded of that after his death. But yes, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that every believer needs, and we must seek God for it, but not to ask for just the baptism and the speaking in tongues, but Lord, bring me to a place where my relationship, my place with you, my intimacy with you is such that I'm in that place where I just the baptism of the Holy Spirit flows in me, through me, and I do start to actually operate in all that you have for me. So, and again, the local church, right? So the local church, there's so much debate whether it should be the universal church, or what purpose does the universal church or the local church serve anymore? How about, you know, online services, video conferencing the services out of churches? But the local church is more than just a big brick building or mortar and brick. It's an actual, supposed to be the place where God, where the congregants of the Lord come, and actually then from there we go out and we actually, you know, start to spread the word, start to teach other things of God. And again, the local church, as it says in Scripture, is that let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So once again, it's the local church plays an important part of that. But do we truly believe that? You know, it says, I'm not sure the exact statistics, but I know from listening to Pastor Shelley and from hearing other people say the same thing, that, you know, even Christians today think that maybe once or twice a month is sufficient to come to church, right? And it's not that you come into church, but what God's calling us to do is to gather together as a body so that we would be able to bless each other and that we would be able to go out there and bless others, you know? And again, the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, right? Again, that takes a lot of faith to believe, but we've heard it so many times. We've heard, wait for it. We've heard others say that he's already come. There's even confusion over that within the Christian church itself. But do we believe that Jesus is coming, or the reason that we have to question that is because how are we living? Are we living as though that Jesus could return at any time? Are we living a life of expectancy, waiting on Jesus, waiting on the things that's to come? And again, Scripture says, "But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." So once again, you know, the belief that Jesus is coming will cause us to continually tell others of that and even speak of it. But the faith in the fact that Jesus is coming will cause us to live differently, will cause us to live with an expectation, with a desire, yes, to see Jesus, but also with a desire to actually, you know, go and spread the gospel and keep that the Great Commission, you know? So the eternal security of the saved person, right? And again, another one that's debated even within the church. So there's a belief and there's faith, you know, and we have to truly, you know, come to the Lord and say, well, how are we supposed to respond to all this? And what are we supposed to, number one, believe? And if we can't even come to a place of firm belief, then how can we have faith in that which is not even, you know, which have the assurance of things hoped for, right? And the evidence of things not seen. If we can't truly even fully believe that that is true. So, but it says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So praise God. So, you know, as we look at all these things, as we look at all these tenets of our faith, we've heard them as we grew up in the church. We've heard them even, you know, as we're walking with the Lord. We continue to hear them. They continue to be part of messages that we hear from the pulpit as we read the Bible. But are we believing them? Or are we actually putting our faith in them? And as I go along here, the Lord really led me. And I was kind of even questioned, Lord, like, what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to present it? Because this is exactly what he started off giving me, and then he gave me no more. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to even do with that information. I think everybody really knows that information already. And we all know that it's crucial that we have faith in these things and not just a belief in them. But what God showed me was we have to start examining our hearts. We have to truly start to look at our walk before God and say, is my walk of belief or is my walk a walk of faith? And there's a big difference between the two. And yes, we can actually get by with a walk of belief before God. We can even sometimes fool ourselves that we're actually, you know, we're doing the things that God wants us to do. We're actually walking the way he wants us. We may even be saved. And the reason I say all that is because I'll tell you some of my testimony and how this really affected me, you know, a little later. But, you know, as we go through this, James is an awesome book. And I want you to take this as a source of conviction, not a source of condemnation. Because James's book is never meant for condemnation, but he's writing it to the church that is being persecuted, the church that's being dispersed. And he's writing it as a sense of examine yourself, know where you stand, know that even in this persecution, know where your heart is before God. So I want to use those encouraging words and those words of conviction from James to really help us to search our hearts and realize, are we walking a walk of belief? Are we walking a walk of faith? Because if we're not walking that walk of faith, we will not be able to navigate the spiritual realm. We will be able to navigate the world around us. We will be able to make decisions based on worldly principles. We may even apply some biblical principles to worldly things. But to actually navigate the realm of the spirit is a completely different topic altogether, a completely different area to walk in. And we need to have faith. We need to be able to walk in the assurance, knowing that we know God so well, that we have such a trust, such a relationship with God, that even though we don't see the manifestation of what's around us, that because God has delivered that word to us, it's happened. It's already, the evidence is already manifested. It's as good as having manifested because God already spoken into existence. We don't see it yet. But that relationship is what is going to get us into a place of actually truly being able to navigate the spiritual realm. And I want to really look at James and start asking ourselves, these questions this morning. So here, we're talking, first, you need wisdom, right? We can't do anything without wisdom and the wisdom of the Lord. Not worldly wisdom, not a wisdom from just experience, but a wisdom that God imparts to us, right? And James is again speaking. I just want to really, you know, hammer this home, that James here is speaking to a church that is standing in the face of persecution, who's standing in the face of death, right? And they're still holding tightly to their faith in what God is doing in their lives. And James is asking them these questions. James is presenting this to them as a source of conviction, right? And he's saying, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, right? So as we look at this, this is a persecuted church, and James is saying, if you need wisdom to navigate the times, if you need wisdom to understand what's going on, if you need wisdom to understand what God is doing among you and why the persecution and why the exile and why the fleeing and why all this is happening, then ask. But if you're going to ask, Do not ask and in doubt that God will provide. Once we ask, we have to start walking. Once we ask, we have to start walking, as long as it's aligning with Scripture. You know, the big thing about faith, and I guess the difficult thing about faith, is that it first has to originate from God. You know, we have to hear that word from God. That means we have to be in the Word. We have to be in prayer. We have to be in worship. We have to be in fellowship. We have to have all of that going, and then God will deliver a word. And out of that place, we will now be able to walk with confidence and a faith-filled confidence. And if we don't have the wisdom to navigate what God is saying to us, then ask. But if we ask, then start to expect to walk in that wisdom, to walk in that ability. Don't just ask for it and then say, well, I'll wait until God does something. Now, God's saying, if you ask, James, God, through James here is saying, if you ask, ask in faith. Don't doubt. And then start walking in the fact. If you've heard that conviction from God, that he's telling you to ask for faith, or ask for wisdom, sorry. If you've got that conviction from the Lord, then once you've prayed that prayer, walk in that as it's already, that it's already been manifested. That's David in Hebrews 1, right? Right? And I keep having to go back on this myself, right? The assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's what we have to walk in. So again here, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Okay, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when a sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Now, again, I want to draw to the audience that James is speaking to, but he's speaking to each one of us this morning as well, right? We as we walk in faith, right, we have to examine our hearts. Am I walking in a place where I'm believing God, or am I walking in a place where I'm putting my faith, my trust in God? Because I believe it's also in James, and I could be wrong with this, where it says that without faith it's impossible, right, to actually please God, right? So if we're not walking in faith, right, if we're not walking in that faith relationship with the Lord, then I want to urge you to start examining your heart. And no, you may be in certain areas of your life, but you may not be in all areas of your life. And we have to really, it's so crucial for us to actually get to that place of truly walking in a place of faith, hearing from the Lord and then walking. Hearing from the Lord and walking that, even though we may not see the manifestation of that which God has said to us, we have to walk in the trust that God is enough, that God is true to his word, and that God will do what he says he will do. And as we grow in that, that this sin, right, and these lusts that actually that cause us to be tempted towards sin, we will now be able to either, you know, bring those thoughts under captivity to Jesus Christ, or we'll be able to reject them altogether. And we know it's possible because Jesus walked this earth, and we know that he did not sin, right? And we know that God wants us to continually be molded and shaped in his likeness. So we can never give in to the fact that, oh, I'm just a sinner. You know, I can't do anything about that. That's not the message that God is giving us. That's not the encouragement that God's giving us. That's not what James is saying here, is that we should always be looking and examine our hearts and say, Lord, where is my weakness? Where is the area of my life where I'm not walking in that place of faith with you? Where is it that just belief is what I have and not truly faith? So then again, James 2:1 says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. And here's, as we look at this, I know that the message that James is giving here is to the church, and saying that if a beggar comes in or if a rich man comes in, don't show favoritism either one or the other. But we have to start to examine our hearts and really start to understand, where do we align? Do we believe God and then go to our job and see the person who's socially awkward or who's whatever it may be, whatever the situation may be, and we kind of shy away and don't actually approach that person, or don't take that person in, or we alienate that person. Or even if we see someone who's rich and who's got all the bling, if you will, right, and all the Mercedes-Benz and all this stuff, and we actually want to become familiar with that person because we want to be elevated to that level or that status in our own lives. Do we live like that and not see the faults that are in that? And if we do, that is a good evidence that we're living a life in belief and not one truly in faith, because the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. When we're living a life of faith, the Holy Spirit will continue to bring conviction, because the only way that you're going to have that faith consistently is by consistently being in a fervent and intimate relationship with Him. And if we're in that intimate relationship with Him, the Holy Spirit will make sure that we're aware of where it is that we're stepping outside of the bounds of God. So again, in James 3, 7 through 9, it says, "For every species of beasts and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." That is a huge one for us, because so easy do we fall into, you know, we may not even be doing it, we may even be just doing it in jest or jokingly or whatever, but we have to be aware of how damaging our words can be. We have to be aware of how we can even find ourselves, we can be on our job, right, and feel that we're being mistreated. Someone else got the promotion, someone else got the credit for something that we initiated, someone else somehow leveraged that and they got the credit for it. Now we can actually start to go and start talking bad about them to our co-workers. And we may even feel justified, we may even feel righteous in doing so, that we're exposing something that was evil, something that was unjust, right? But we have to, before we start going down that path, before we start actually, you know, using our tongue for anything else except blessing our Lord and Father, we need to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, show me. Give me that wisdom." And as we're walking in a place of faith before God, knowing that God will, you know, that was a big one for me when I first came to the Lord as an Irish person, and I don't want to paint every Irish person with this brush, but majority of us, it flows very well with our accent and with our speech, and we were very adept at using the coarse language, I guess you could say, a nice way of putting it, right? But when I came to the Lord, I mean, really, it was almost, my way of speaking was embarrassing to even other guys, you know what I'm saying, in certain situations, and I didn't know what to do with that. It was something that I had done all my life. And now I came to the Lord and I was like, "Lord, I read this," and I was like, "Oh, I gotta do something about this," but I was not able to just get rid of it. So I came before the Lord, and for a week straight, I just kept coming to Him, kept praying to Him, and saying, "Lord, I know You don't want this, so take it." And He did. He literally took it away, and that's over 20 years ago. And even now, praise God, yeah, hallelujah. But just to tell you what deliverance looks like, that I can't even say the word now. Even if I wanted to describe it, I'd have to spell the word for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even bring myself to say the word. That's how, you know, how the Lord delivers someone. You know what I'm saying? And that was because, you know, it took time to actually pray that out. But from that, faith, my faith grew in the Lord. My faith grew because I know that God is able to do that. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many other things that He did. And as we walk in that place of not just belief, but Lord, do this, and you start to walk in that way. Start to actually see how God and is opening up opportunities, opening up doors, opening up windows for us to actually be able to operate in that. And again, here in James, it says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Right? So as we look at that, James started off telling us, ask for wisdom. And once we ask for wisdom, to walk, to ask in faith, not doubting, right? But now he's also saying, if once you start asking for wisdom, right, realize what wisdom are you operating out of. Because there is a worldly wisdom, you know, and it's recognized all over. There's scholarly wisdom, there's all academic wisdom, all, you know, even, you know, and even in that you can gain people can recognize you for your ability in academia or whatever, to have a wisdom that seems beyond your age or even beyond the ability of others, right? But that's not the wisdom that he's talking about here, because, you know, the wisdom here that James is speaking of, right, is a godly wisdom, a wisdom that will promote life, a wisdom that will actually cause us to be quiet when the Holy Spirit wants us to be quiet, a wisdom that will tune in to the actual realm of the Spirit. We'll be able to start navigating that realm, that faith that we have, working together with the Word of God, working together with prayer, working together with worship and fellowship. All of that together, we start to be able to navigate the realm of the Spirit. And the things of this world will start to look as they are, as just images that are before us, and not the truth that is behind. Because behind all these images that we're seeing, but behind all these situations we're seeing, there are demonic spirits at work and influencing and altering these images. So will it draw us even away from that faith in the Lord and now start to fear and to doubt and be anxious? That's not where God wants us. He wants us to be walking, trusting, having faith in Him. But the only way that can happen is, once again, us knowing Him intimately and hearing the voice of God. So when we are in those situations, that we're so confident that we can walk without a doubt, knowing that God has already gone before us. He's already made clear the path. He's already made the way for us. So again, here in James it says, right? This is the source. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You commit lust. Are you lust and you do not have? So you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, you adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, once again, we have to remember that James is speaking not to unbelievers. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to a persecuted church. He's speaking to people who are standing in the face of death and saying this to them. So, even all the more, we should be willing to receive this word this morning. That as and examine our heart and say, Lord, examine my heart. Check my heart. Is this a part of my walk before you? Is this something that I need to address before you? Is this something I need to take in my prayer closet? Is there wisdom I need to even discern where it is in my life that all these things are happening? That these quarrels, these arguments, these things that I ask for, like when I pray about them, Lord, I don't receive them. Is it because I'm asking with wrong motives? Am I asking them so they would benefit me? Or am I asking them so they would actually enhance your kingdom work in this place? And that's a huge question that each one of us has to ask. Because, you know, at the root of it all, our hearts are wicked above all else, right? So even though we may think what we're doing to be right, or even we may think our motives are right, we have to ask, Lord, examine my motives even. Even examine my motives, because I may think what I'm doing is correct. I may even be convinced because I've believed enough that what I'm doing. But when we start to operate in faith, the Holy Spirit will start to bring that conviction. We start to understand, the wisdom will start to flow, and we'll actually start to be able to navigate and understand exactly what it is that we're doing and how it is that as we pray these prayers, right? Because God loves, He does, He loves to answer prayer. He causes us to ask in prayer. He causes us to come before Him and tells us to come before Him in prayer. So if that is the case, God is not sitting there saying, oh, well, let them pray all day, I'm just going to disregard the prayers. God's doing that so that we can come and heighten that relationship with Him. So His desire is to answer our prayers. His desire is to give us that which we pray for. But we have to be sure that we're actually, you know, before we pray a prayer that's asking God for something, did we first hear it from God? You know? Did we first ask God, like, Lord, I want this, but do you want this for me? You know what I'm saying? That's the question we have to ask. And we will know that answer. We have to have confidence that we can even know that answer. Because it's out of that place of intimacy with the Lord that we'll be hearing that. You know, it says that Jesus did nothing unless He heard from His Father first, right? So every time that Jesus did something, He heard clearly from the Father. That channel of communication was wide open, because He trusted so, depended so wholly on the Father, right? That His faith just carried Him through. He didn't have to wonder if it was going to happen. He heard the Father, and he knew it was going to happen, so he walked in it. He heard it from the Father, so he operated it and knew it was going to happen. That's where we need to be. Because as Christians, if we're operating truly in that place of faith, if we're operating in that place of that walk before God, that as we pray over whatever the situation may be, whether it's your unsafe family member, whether it's someone who's sick, whether it's someone who's depressed, whatever it may be, whether it's your finances, whatever it may be, we will be able to pray a prayer that we've heard from God first and then pray that. And we will be able to walk and say with confidence that God has heard and God has answered your prayer. And so here, James again, 2:17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. You know, so just belief alone is not enough. Belief alone is not enough. We have to start to ask God. And if we don't know what, even how to get to that place, ask God. Lord, show me how to get to that place of faith before you. Show me what it is that you want to do in my life to progress me, to grow me in my faith, that I may be able to have that relationship with you, that I may be able to pray that prayer of faith so that my words would be faith-filled. Right, which is the title of this message, by the way. So that my word would be faith-filled, right? And as we come to that place of truly understanding and trusting God, we will be, not just will we have a more joyful relationship with the Lord, but we'll have more confident relationship with the Lord. We'll walk into a place and we'll already have heard from God, and we'll know exactly what God is about to do. You know, and we'd be able to actually operate in that place with complete peace, complete confidence, knowing that God's already going ahead of us. And we're just telling you what God is about to do. You know, I'm not prophesying into the future. I'm just telling you what God's about to do. And that's that walk of faith, you know. So, and again, you know, all of that in James is to really cause us to examine our hearts. And the reason I really wanted to say this, because, you know, my personal testimony, and I'm just going to keep it short, is that about 6-7 years ago, I had this pain in my shoulder. It was more than a pain in my shoulder. It felt like I was having a heart attack for months. This thing went on for 6 months. I was even out of work. And like it would happen where I would get shooting sharp pain down my chest, up my neck, down my arm. I would get tingling in my arm. All my muscles would start to contract. So my breathing would become laborsome. So I thought I was having a heart attack, right? And they did all sorts of tests, told me, your heart's fine. I was like, no, I'm having a heart attack. You don't know what you're saying, you know? And fear grabbed me. I mean, really, it really grabbed me. I was afraid to do anything, you know? And this went on for a long time. And eventually, you know, I was praying with Bridget. I was talking to Bridget about it. And, you know, after about 6 months of this, she was really seeing me struggle with this, you know, struggle with my faith even in this, you know? And, you know, really, it sounds maybe in a way uncaring, but it was the most caring thing that she said, that she really said to me, right? But she goes, you know, really, look at it. If you die, you die, you know? Right? Now, that may sound harsh, but you know what? And it wasn't meant harsh. It was meant very lovingly to remind me who it was that held my life in the balance. And as soon as I heard that, as soon as those words were spoken into my life, you know, Lord just dropped that assurance into me. He says, you know what? Only I can give life, and only I can take it away. So if I choose to take your life away, all the fear in the world is not going to help, not going to stop me. So what are you anxious about? You know what I'm saying? Not only that, but secondly, you're going out telling other people that Jesus is the way, Jesus is Lord, Jesus died for your sin. You know, you get eternal life in heaven. But you're afraid to come here? You know what I'm saying? So all this, the Lord just started showing me. And so I was walking a walk of belief. I was walking a walk of belief. I didn't even realize I was walking a walk of belief. I was growing in my faith. I was growing in the church. I was actually reading. All this stuff was actually, you know, really progressing in my life. But in that area, I did not have the faith to actually trust God in that. And God allow us to go through these things. So when we're going through situations and we're going through trials, don't be so quick to pray them away. Don't be so quick to just say, Lord, cure me of this. But be more concerned about what God is trying to show you through that. What, Lord, what are you doing? Because God's desire is for us. His plans are for us. His plans are to prosper us, right? And as we go through this walk with him, right, whatever he allows into our life is to shape us, is to mold us, is to create us into more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. So don't be so quick to pray that prayer of, Lord, take it away. I don't want this. There's many things that I've gone through in my life that I would never have gone through willingly. The Lord took me through them all, and he grew me through them all, and he grew my faith through each and every one. So, you know, I just want to really remind you of that. And as we go through this, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and I think this is awesome. And I'm going to go through it quick, because it's just really to close out this whole thing and to really encourage us that while we have to examine our hearts, while we may not be walking that walk of faith, while we may be walking walk of belief, and Lord may be, you know, even now, bring conviction upon your heart to show you areas where you're walking in belief rather than faith. Remember, there's encouragement, because the Holy Spirit is the one who actually grows our faith. God is the one who gave us a measure of faith, and he wants us to grow into that. So just bring this before the Lord. Continue to seek the Lord. And as we go through this, I'll just kind of allude to how that's even possible, right? And again, in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. This is where we start. This is where we start. To actually start to understand if there's influences in your life, if there's people in life. I'm not saying that you alienate yourself, but we have to walk with like-minded people. We have to walk with people who are seeking after the presence of God, who are seeking to grow in their faith in God. And as we walk with those people, then yes, we go out and we minister to our unsaved family members. We minister to our people at work who are unsaved. We minister to all these people who are living these lives. And you know, these sound like such a list of really egregious acts. But they're really not. If you think about it, before I was saved, I was operating on every one of them. You know, that's the way of the world. You know, it's not that it's this horrible life that and it's unredeemable life. It's life without Christ. It's what that is, and we cannot walk in their midst. We have to avoid such men and women as these, right? And again, in 2 Timothy 3:8-9, it says, "But as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jambres and Jambres' folly was also." So we have to, even as we're starting to understand this, and we're walking according to the ways of the Lord, we're surrounding ourselves with like believers, those who are like-minded of us, those who are of the like faith, truly trusting God, and surrounding ourselves with fellowship rather than those who are in the world, right? We have to have faith and know that God will expose all these things. That even if you're on your job and you're acting in a manner that's conducive with a relationship with the Lord, and you're being gentle in spirit, that you're and someone else who's loud and boisterous is actually saying all this stuff, and because of that, they're actually getting the raises, they're actually getting the promotions, whatever it may be, wherever. And I'm just using the job as an example, because that's where all of us kind of can relate a little bit, you know. But it could be in so many other places in life also. But do not allow that to cloud your judgment. Do not allow that to cloud your walk before God. Realize that God will make all these things known. And have faith and trust that God has all this under control. And here again it says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Right? Hold on one second. "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be prosecuted, And I believe that was a cliffhanger for a reason, right? Lord wanted us to wait for a second on that one to really allow that to sit in. Yes, we will be persecuted. You will face persecution. And so often we don't even know what persecution really is, you know? We think that if someone tells us not to say Jesus, that we're being persecuted. That's not true persecution, you know what I'm saying? Persecution is someone who's been, you've been tormented for your faith. You've been even almost abused for your faith, right? And that's, even in those situations, Paul says, Paul was stoned to death. Well, not almost to death. Left to die, right? And that's what he's talking about, persecution. So let's just kind of equate what we're talking about. We're talking about persecution. We're not talking about, you know, the things that we so often are concerned about. But Paul's on, but if you're stoned almost to death, right, then that's persecution. And that, and God will deliver you even from that, right? So, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will, and I'm not saying we're all going to be stoned to death. I'm not advocating that you even push yourself to that point. But what I'm saying is that as we pursue after God, there is a difference between belief and there's a difference between faith. If Paul just simply believed, he would not have, after being stoned pretty much to death, gotten up and gone back into that city to preach the gospel. But he had faith that God would meet him there, God would continue to sustain him, and that God would actually receive the glory for that, and not him. You know, so again, I just want to really start to hit home on that as we look at all these things and as we examine our hearts on all of the issues that were brought up in the book of James, so as we start to examine our hearts for that, and as the Holy Spirit starts to bring conviction upon us as to where it is and how it is that we're walking before God, are we walking in belief in this area and faith in this area, then Lord, strengthen this area. Cause me to move from belief into faith, you know? But, and again, here it says, just to finish that out. But then again, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, it says, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Once again, start to align yourself, not just with friends, but those who would be leaders, those who would sow into your life, those who would speak into your life, those who would cause you to question where you are in your walk before the Lord, and allow that to start to actually propagate conviction, to propagate desire for faith, desire for more than belief in the Lord, but a faith in the Lord. And for a finish, we know that we can go to the scriptures for all these things. We know we can. We know that as we seek God's will, his plan, his purpose for our lives, we know that here in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that's what we want to be. We want to be equipped for every good work. But belief alone will not equip us for the good work that we need to do. We need to be operating in a place of faith. And the only way to operate in that place of faith is to cast aside all these sins that so easily beset us. Cast aside all the fear, all the anxiety, all the nervousness, all the naysayers, all of that, and press into God. Press into that place of intimacy with him. Get into a routine of coming before God each and every day, not just reading the scriptures. I'm talking about get alone with God. Get into that time with God where you actually start to hear from God, where you start getting structure from God, where God starts to point out people in your life and areas in your life where he wants you to pray over, where he wants you to speak into. So then when you're speaking these words and praying these words, they will be faith-filled words. They will not be my words. They will not be your words. They will be the words that we received from God in our prayer closet. They will then be backed up by the words of Scripture as we're reading the Bible. And then as we go and we speak these words, we can speak them in confidence, knowing that they're not our words. They don't carry my weight behind them, but they carry the weight of the throne room of God, and that they will take effect. And that is where we will then be able to have the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Praise God. So hallelujah. So praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, O God, to receive all honor and glory.
Hallelujah.
our God. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Hallelujah. You're worthy, God.
You're the name above all names. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
Hi, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for meeting us here today, oh Father God. We thank you, Lord, for showing up in power, oh Father God. We thank you for delivering a message to us, Lord, that will cause us to examine our hearts, examine our ways before you, oh Father God. Lord, we ask that you be glorified in our lives, oh Father God. Lord, grow us in our faith so that even as we walk into rooms, even as we go about our lives, oh Father God, we would know, Lord, they were operating out of a place of faith-filled words, oh Father God, because those words have originated at your throne room, oh Father God. And we are simply telling others that which you've already told us, oh Father God. Lord God, I just ask, oh Father God, that you will continue to lead us, continue to guide us, oh Father God. Continue, oh Father God, to show us all that you desire to do in and through our lives, oh Father God. And even as we leave this place, oh Father God, let us not leave it, oh Father God, but let us realize that we have been changed even, oh Father God, by the washing of your word here today, Lord. Cause us to seek after you. Cause us to use this word, oh Father God, to search our heart, search our lives, and search our ways before you, Lord, so that we may grow in our faith and we may be a testimony to your goodness and your love. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if anybody does want prayer, the altars are open, so praise God.
How great is our God.
Thank you, sir.